Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of the city formerly used for South by Southwest last week. Now everybody's recovering from a little South by South by Westy hangover, and the streets are a little quieter over the last few days as a result. Probably also because a lot of people just basically left town so they wouldn't have to deal with South by Southwesties. And that's it. Yep. South by Southwest is just, I guess, some kind of necessary evil for the city of Austin. And this year kind of wasn't as great, I guess, as previous years. A lot of stuff going on. I think one of the founders or main guys of South by Southwest was recently fired after the whole shebang bang. The whole festival was basically purchased by Palantir. Also some bad press last year from, you know, people walking out in protest of the festival's relationship with Israeli weapons companies or something like that. And finally, the Austin's main convention center was basically made defunct, and they're building a brand new one, and I don't think it's finished yet. So there just wasn't really any kind of centralized, coherent, cohesive vibe. I think it was just a lot of people running around with various AI gadgets and just trying to impress themselves at this point. I think at this point you go to South by Southwest because you're trying to find some optimism in the world of tech. You're trying to find some silver lining, some horizon to look towards that's rosier than the bleak shit that we have surrounded all around us. And we're going to cover that bleak shit in the news today. Let's see, what do we have covering today? We're going to be talking about how, first off, Kash Patel reveals in a congressional hearing that the FBI purchases Americans' location data after being questioned by Whedon, followed by a commentary on a Netflix documentary called Inside the Manosphere, which exposes a digital pipeline to misogyny. And then, you know, RIP, we're going to be quickly covering Chuck Norris, martial artist, actor, and cultural icon who died March 19th in Hawaii. So not bad. He was 86, kind of young for a guy that has that kind of street cred for physical prowess. Just 9 days earlier, he posted a video sparring, captioning it, "I don't age, I level up." Well, he leveled up to heaven, hopefully. So then we finally will close with an article by the Wall Street Journal regarding a warning that Larry Fink basically gave to some audience at some speaking event, where he warned people that they should invest or risk getting left behind by AI. Let's intertwine all of these stories. Let's get started. Let's start talking about shit. First off, we got Kash Patel, who revealed that the FBI purchases Americans' location data after questioning in a congressional hearing. Now, first off, I love whenever they do a big theatrical reveal about the extent of how much people's data is basically not under their control, how we basically have no agency in this society. We are basically just these passive recipients of various messaging that we get from our devices that we're hypnotized by. And then we're basically told what to do through various narratives and stuff in a very complex, subtle, nuanced way through advertising and marketing and propaganda, which you basically download every time you look at your phone. I see people do it. Every time somebody's living a life and then you see them stop suddenly in the middle of the street and just stare at their phone, it's like beep, boop, beep, 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 beep. They're receiving the message, their personal message. And it's really freaky because whenever people do that, you basically suddenly look like a junkie, like a junkie that's tweaking on a corner or nodding off or something like that. I don't know if you realize that about yourself, if you're the kind of person that does that. That's what you look like. You look like a drug addict. And so they just stare at their phones for a few minutes. And they do it, you know, like you tell yourself you're doing it for something practical, right? Always something practical. Oh, I got to check my GPS. Oh, I got to check if my mom called. Oh, I got to check this text message from my whatever. Oh, I got to check Slack. Oh, this, oh, that. But isn't it funny how every time you do that, your thumb shifts you over to some kind of more passive experience. It's always social media, something at shopping. If you don't think shopping is a part of that, you're a part of the problem. Anyway, no, nobody's a part of the problem. There is a problem. Or Google. Google is also a social media app, right? They own YouTube, right? And Gmail is a part of the whole thing. So that's your thing. You get your message, and you download into the ether of your, you know, cognitive inner world. And next thing you know, you're buying something, right? That you didn't think you're gonna, or you're repeating something that you saw that you didn't. You didn't necessarily believe that before, and you're kind of just this mouthpiece. You're like this human megaphone. I don't know if you ever saw the human megaphone, or human microphone rather, during the Occupy Wall Street protests. There was this innovative little cute mechanism by which the protesters figured out a way to speak and their voices carry throughout the crowd without having to use megaphones or any kind of amplifying device, because they weren't legally allowed to. They would just make it so that the speaker said something, and then the people that could within earshot would repeat it, and then the people within earshot of those people would repeat it backwards all the way, and it would just carry through the crowd. And, you know, I mean, lots of things can go wrong there, and did, because, I mean, that's basically, you're playing a game of telephone, and I don't know if you ever played a game of telephone where you do the same thing I just described, but like one person at a time in a small party or group of friends, and you notice that by the time it gets back around to what the original person said, it would be actually pretty different from, you know, whatever. So the Occupy Wall Street was doomed to failure from the start, is what I'm trying to say. Because the people from the front, it's like, we're going to meet at the bridge. And then by the time it gets all the way to the back, it's like, hey, you know, forget the whole thing. We're going to go clubbing. What do you say? Let's go to Wall Street and find some clubs. So, you know, it was just, you know what I mean? The human microphone was probably what caused Occupy Wall Street to fail, is what I think about it. Because it wouldn't take a lot for FBI agents to kind of just infiltrate very easily and just use that telephone thing to do that. Anyway, so like I was saying, what was I saying? Anyway, so protesting and all that stuff. So you think, right, you do think that you're in control and you have all this agency, and then you check your phone and suddenly you're saying and doing things that, I don't know, if you really think about it, would you be doing those things? I'm not sure. Right. And you look to your phone for that to give you guidance. Right. Because now we've developed this codependency with it. And it's basically where we're at as a species. Right. We're becoming a hive mind. Right. But the hive mind is centralized. People are not just reading each other's minds, and it's like telekinesis and shit. Right. There is a centralized force that is feeding into these devices and then feeding you what you need for you to do what needs to be done to keep things going, which is basically just consumerism, right? And doing those kinds of things. You consume, have babies, get married, all that stuff. That's where we're at. And it's not a conspiracy, right? This is just how society works. This is the free market, right? This is the crony capitalist, monopolistic capitalist, design. This is what's going to happen. So that, what the fuck am I talking about? Do you hear me? Can you hear me? That all came from my phone, I bet. Don't disregard everything I just said. Let's move on to what I was talking about. Cash Patel reveals that the FBI purchases Americans' location data after questioning by Biden. Let's check it out.
To do our mission, we do purchase commercially available information that's consistent with the Constitution and the laws under the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, and it has led to some valuable intelligence for us to be utilized with our private and partner sector.
So you're saying
that... What the fuck does that mean?
The agency will buy Americans' location data I believe that that's what you've said in kind of intelligence lingo. And I just want to say, as we start this debate, doing that without a warrant is an outrageous end run around the Fourth Amendment. It's particularly dangerous given the use of artificial intelligence to comb through massive amounts of private information. This is Exhibit A for why Congress needs to pass our bipartisan, bicameral bill, the Government Surveillance Reform Act.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Isn't that everything just kind of gets tied up in a neat little bow, right? Now, finally, these geriatrics have caught on, supposedly. We're led to believe, right? These old fucks have finally caught on to the fact of the reality of, you know, data brokerage and, you know, B2B, you know, data packaging and selling and options and just like all this secret shadow shit that's been happening that everybody kept saying was happening. And the only reason why it's, I call it shadow stuff, is because everybody under 40 knew, and that was not people in Congress, because they're all over 40 and nobody, they wouldn't listen because, and it's not like they wouldn't listen, it's because they were too stupid to know what was going on. And now they're finally catching on and getting wise. And it doesn't even matter, because they're just using it to posture that they have like bipartisan support for, we're not fighting anymore, we're getting along and we're doing it. Everybody, you voted for us and look at us, we're doing it. And you're just doing political theater in the face of some real issue about people's ownership of their data online and what that's going to mean in the future and where this is headed with AI. And it's all too little too late. And it's like, these people are going to die in 10 years. They're not going to do anything. They can't live long enough because they can't live long enough to actually even understand what's happening. Look how long it took them to get to what this guy just said, where everybody was already there like 15, 20 years ago. Like when they passed the Patriot Act, people were already, it was like already huge red flags, huge, huge red flags. And they, nothing, could silence. And I don't, people think it's corruption and stuff. I think maybe, I don't know, a couple people, right? I think it was just actual stupidity and just old people getting older and being in power. And you know, it's, you know what I mean? It takes a lot for a person, for a politician to get in power. It takes many years of building clout and respect and support, you know, and people in Congress have to vouch for you and support. And that takes its own long time. Just to be a politician, you have to compromise so much and get in with so many of your local power players that by the time you get to the Senate, you're already just a politician. You're not going to change anything. But then when you get there, then you have to gain the respect and trust and support of members of Congress. And that, you know what I mean? Like, that takes years. And that's why it takes so long and they're so old right now, because that's how long it takes to get anywhere, any kind of clout, any kind of pull in Congress. But then the problem is that they grew up pre-internet, and now we are barreling down the path of just right into the wall of AI and what that's going to do. And that exponential curve is beyond them. They don't have the neuroplasticity at this point to do anything. But the problem with that is younger people don't have the wisdom to lead people in a better direction, even though they do understand what's going on. So, and not all young people, but I'm saying like the vast majority of people are idiots. You know what I mean? And so it takes a long time to not be such a moron. But we have this confounding factor now of this exponential learning curve with technology that a 90-year-old is not going to be able to transcend. And most of these people are headed to 90. So what are we going to do? I don't know, probably, you know, just kind of accept this techno-feudal future that we have in store. Anyway, you know, so, but I love that they are coming to YouTube now and posting these congressional hearings, and it's all like big reveals of huge duh moments where it's like, oh, they're buying data from these private tech companies. The tech companies have sold us out to not only the government, but who knows who else, to each other, even to manipulate, to advertisers, to manipulate, excuse me, for, you know what I mean? So what the hell are we supposed to do with crap like this? This is why people are so disaffected and apathetic, because it's like, this is worse than watching reruns. You know what I mean? It's worse than watching reruns of some show. Because it has the same feeling, but it's like this was already in your head. And they're like showcasing this crap. Like it's like, ta-da! Check out this new show. It's the bipartisan AI guardrail policy show. And you're like, yeah, I already had that show in my head like 20 years ago. And they're like, but hey, you know, all your favorite actors are in it. It's like Tulsi Gabbard and Cash Patel. And yeah, it's like, those aren't my favorite actors, you know, because my favorite actors are Hollywood actors, actually, because I like that Hollywood actors know better than to get into politics, because politicians are just actors who don't. That's it. Actors in Hollywood are politicians who realize that it's better to, you know, repeat other people's scripts, you know, verbatim, for the purpose of creating a fantasy world that everybody knows is a fantasy and we all agree to suspend belief to enjoy, rather than an actor who, you know, a politician who's really an actor who is doing the same thing, reading a script given to him by whatever, right? Multiple interests, private and public, and then creating this fantasy, creating this narrative fantasy story, but actually telling you to believe it, like this is real, like for realsies this time. We actually get AI and we know what to do and you can count on us and we're gonna save you. It's like, you can't do shit. You can't do anything because AWS Cloud can shut down any .gov website if they felt like it, I think, right? I don't know. Do .gov websites run on AWS? I have no idea. They probably have some private contract with them or something. And that's what they, well, I take it back. If it was AWS, it might actually run well. But .gov websites notoriously don't. Because why? I don't know. Probably because they just used junior developers to build all of them and never fixed it. So, anyway, let's move on, shall we? We have other stories to cover, including Chuck Norris, who unfortunately passed away recently, 9 days ago. Martial artist, actor, and cultural icon, died March 19th in Hawaii, 86 years old. And that's the thing. It's that Chuck Norris, you got a problem when Chuck Norris has more gravitas, credibility, more self-respect, more clarity of vision. You know what I mean? More calmness behind the eyes. Like a real adult in the room kind of person. More than every person in Congress. You know what I mean? I would trust Chuck Norris saying anything more than Cash Patel. If Chuck Norris said what Cash Patel said, I would be like, maybe we have a reason for this. Maybe it is for national security. And you know you have a problem when Chuck Norris seems more adult than all of the people that we look to be the adults right now. Because he's an actor. He's an actor. He does fake martial arts. I mean, he does real martial arts. But you know what I mean? He does it for the movies. Okay? Look at this guy. Listen to this.
You know, amazingly, about 3 years ago, I got invited over there to go to a kickboxing event in Moscow.
He's talking about Russia.
And I thought, well, you know, I've never been there, so mm-hmm. I'd like to go over there.
Russia.
And because, you know, I have black belts that have come over and trained with me from Russia, but I've never been there. So I go over there, and unbeknownst to me, about 10 years ago, martial arts was outlawed in Russia. And if you used it, they put you in jail. And so they trained underground. But they had no teachers, and they were using my pirated movies, tapes, to
really?
Train. Yeah, I used the training aids, and so I went over there. I was like their mentor, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was very surprised. And so at this kickboxing event, they had a facility of like 30,000 people. When the word got out I was going to be there, they sold it out in like 5 hours, and it was amazing because, You know, crowds don't make me nervous. Mm-hmm. This time I went to this event, and I'm sitting there with the promoter, and I could feel the energy of the crowd. You know, and I said to the promoter, you know, I get the feeling that when this is over, they're all going to want to come down. And he's all, don't worry, in his broken English, we have many bodyguards. So.
Look at that. Look, did you laugh at any of that, even when he chuckled, right? Would you say you were actually entertained, or were you just taking note of everything he said as if it were actually important? This inane story, which actually isn't inane, I guess, get 30,000 people, that's scary, in an arena, whatever. But this just story, right? This old yarn from this guy, this actor, is more compellingly said. It has better, I don't know, diction, public speaking prowess, I don't know what it is, than Kash Patel. Kash Patel is just sitting there, his eyes darting all over the place. He's like looking at his notes. He doesn't really exude what Chuck Norris does. Chuck Norris, for God's sake, an actor, is more serious. Then this is, and you know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's like he was a straight man. That was the sort of social contract of the internet from its inception, right? Is that the real world is real, right? It's as real as Chuck Norris, and it's serious in many ways. The real world is the straight man to the internet's kookiness. And then the problem happened where suddenly the real people in the real world, the politicians, the moms, the dads, the housewives, right? It all became reality TV. It all became entertainment. We have AOC. We have Gavin Newsom. We have President Trump. All people who are kookier than reality. So we have no baseline. We have no rock. We have no foundation for the real in reality anymore. That's the problem. We keep saying it's like, oh, misinformation's a problem. But if the real people in the real world acted like they were real, instead of the madness that you see now with people, with Gavin Newsom basically looks like the blue fairy from Pinocchio made a mannequin come to life, right? And AOC looks like she just stepped out of, you know, Washington Heights musical dress rehearsal and never looked back, because she was like, I'm gonna make it in Congress. I'm gonna be the president one day when I win the lottery, right? And then Trump orange spray tan, all this stuff, like the hair. These people are not serious. They are fantasy people. They belong in a video. They belong in Grand Theft Auto as a darkly satirical take on the, you know, political culture in America. And instead, this is real. So when real is not real anymore, and the internet was never real, it's virtual, actually, then we have no real. And that's why you literally now have people going, go touch grass. Because nothing else is real enough anymore that you literally have to go out and look at local flora and fauna, because that's the only thing that can actually give you a reality check. And that's not enough, right? It would be enough if all you did was live in the woods. Yeah, go touch grass. You need to know how the grass is doing, because then your crops will do the same or something, right? How's the grass doing, so you know if there's deer around to kill? But we don't live in the woods. We live in civilization. So the grass was supposed to be, adults. But adults are morons now. Adults want to be children. And children want to be adults. And up is down. And what's the world coming to? And what am I, 90 years old here? All right, let's move on. We got another story for you. All right. Yeah, this I found this interesting. I wanted to share this with you. Netflix documentary Inside the Manosphere exposes a digital pipeline to misogyny. Because this is kind of in the vein of what I'm saying, okay? And it's like, look, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah. Very concerning, the manosphere, misogyny. And it's so, this is so poignant, right? Because this is Netflix. Netflix is a part of this whole problem of this making this fuzzy line between fantasy and reality that we have to basically live through, because you have to use your phone. You know what I mean? They make you. You have to be on Slack. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to be on Amazon to get your basic needs met. In some parts of the country, that's your only option, and or it's the best option. So, you know, it's crazy that this guy goes, he documentary, to talk to these people that don't really exist, these men that are really just catering to 14-year-old boys. And all 14-year-old boys are misogynistic because they only know their moms. So they can't imagine a woman that wouldn't be like their mom. And if you think about what a mom is to a boy, if that were a relationship that was, you know, not a mom, but a woman, that, but then it's like she acts like your mom, that would be considered an old, dated kind of relationship, not a modern relationship, right? Because your mom, she lives for you. She lives to serve you. This, I have a baby now, you're wired to do it, right? You stare at that fucking baby. Anytime its eye twitches, you're like, do you want some milk? Do you want some milk, baby? Baby, you want some milk? Sometimes you're in another room and you hear the baby just make a noise like, ugh, and you go, baby, you want some milk? Baby, you want some milk? Okay? You're hunting down this baby because you want to shove milk at it, because that's like what your biology is screaming at you to do. Baby, you want some milk? You okay, baby? Okay? That's all you hear in your head all day. So you're like a dog. Do you understand? Like, women are like, moms are like dogs in the sense that your whole biological genetic makeup, it just becomes altered to be at the disposal of this creature that needs your attention and love at any cost. And that's what you get into when you become a mom and you fully accept it. But that's a mom, right? So yeah, you're serving your boy, okay? You're serving him. You want a sandwich, right? That's your mom, right? Oh, you want to go out with girls? Go out with all the girls. But I'll never touch another man again. Not after your father, right? That's moms. So yeah, okay, they have 14-year-old boys are prime targets for what they're calling the manosphere, which is what they always give a name to whenever a group of dudes are saying similar things, right? So first it was the intellectual dark web, now it's the manosphere, whatever. But this is your mom, dude. The 14-year-old boys want their moms. They want to have sex with their moms, okay? So it's like they want someone who is their mom so that they can please her and but also have other women. And yes. Okay, there's not going to be a lot of guys in their 30s looking at these kinds of influencers. This is for 14-year-old boys who are still really into their moms. That's it, because your mom is the closest to a misogynistic relationship you're ever going to get to, unless you can, you know, find some sucker. There's lots of suckers out there, or a girl who's genuinely, you know, into that. So, in which case, more power to both of you. Anyway, okay. So what I love is, so yeah, it mentions that it targets children, and it's like children, and I already explained why, duh, is another one of those like, duh, moments. And then it's like, oh, Trump, now Trump is like the devil, because people are tired of mentioning Nazis now. So, you know, it has to be Trump now. Trump is like the stand-in for anytime you used to say Hitler and Nazis, because Hitler Nazis is like early internet. And we're past the early internet. Now we're into that. And then, you know, one day there's going to be something to replace Trump to talk about that's going to be the equivalent of Hitler. And then we'll just move on and keep going. So, yeah, there's Trump, right? That's to make it serious. And then it's like, and then blame capitalism. And it's like, okay, fine. Then, you know, it's this Miss Magazine thing is just interesting, because look at this. And so at the end, you know, this Miss Magazine article basically concludes that the Manosphere documentary reveals this profit-driven network of influencers weaponizing misogyny, conspiracy theories, and traditional values, in quotes, while violating them, blah, 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 to shape young audiences, teaching boys that their worth is conditional and earned through dominance, while conditioning girls and women to accept inequality as natural. Yeah, bad things. However, then it goes, in doing so, it exposes the Manosphere as a broader system amplified by algorithms, media platforms, and politics that distorts relationships, normalizes harm, and socializes a new generation into gendered hierarchies with real-world consequences. Let me tell you something. Every corner of the internet that peddles any kind of view, ideology, dogma, and it can be from any side of the spectrum, okay? And including the autism spectrum, okay? All the spectrums, the political spectrum, the autism spectrum, the spectrum of sexuality, all of it, every single part of it, the conservative, the dark, whatever the fuck you want to call it, all of these people are doing that because that's what social media facilitates. Social media is that. Right? So if you want to succeed in social media, that's your best bet. And so that's why people do it, because the whole internet is made for that now. It's made, it's not the Manosphere, okay? The Manosphere is a broader system, blah, blah, blah. The system is made so that things can be amplified by algorithms. Like, it's so your ego can be amplified by algorithms, media platforms, and politics that will distort relationships, normalize harm, and socialize people into gendered hierarchies with real-world consequences. This is everybody. Everybody, okay? Anything, any stupidity that you get online with having in your head will be exploited. That's what I'm trying to say. Any weakness in you, in your mind, okay? Any demons you're fighting, any emotional baggage you have, any political, political weakness that you might have and be inclined towards being radicalized in will be used against you, because that's how that thing is built. That's how Instagram is built, and OnlyFans, that's how they're all, OnlyFans, right? Instagram also does that for sex, right? As a pipeline to more sex, to eventually OnlyFans, right? So but it's what it does. It amplifies your sexual, hang-ups, right? Or kinks or anything. It takes even positive or negative things and will amplify it with algorithms, media platforms, and politics. It will distort your relationships sexually, normalize harm for a lot of people, right? Kinky shit, right? All of a sudden you're doing like really extreme kinky shit you never thought you'd do. And then socializes you into a gendered hierarchy with real world heart consequences, okay? It's, yeah. And it doesn't even have to be a gendered hierarchy. It just socializes people into the right hierarchy so that they can fit into whatever stupid niche that they need to be fit into, so that they can buy a pair of plastic chaps from some idiot selling them from in the Philippines or something like that. So you're trying to move product here. That's what's going on, okay? And the reason why they want to keep doing that is because they have to always be able to show that they can manipulate you so that they can take money from advertisers, so that they can take money, so they can contract out with the government, like Kash Patel said, and use your data, right? If they can't show if they can't show how all of this data that they've amassed from people can be used, like how people can be manipulated, then they have nothing to sell, right? So they have to do the manipulating first to then start to show people the power that they have over people who, and they do. Even if you think that you're not, like you're immune from it, you're probably actually one of the more vulnerable people to it, okay? And it's, I gotta say it, man, because I've seen too many people go down on Facebook. I've seen my friends. I've seen friends of mine. Okay, they have a vulnerable moment, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happens. And now they're screaming on Facebook all caps about Trump or something, but it's like, you know that it's because your brother died. You know what I mean? Like, you know what's going on with this person, and your phone and your social media algorithm has you by the balls. So, I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't think there's anything we can even do to fix it, honestly. But I will say that Larry Fink does have a suggestion, and that's going to be our last story of today. So Larry Fink's warning, invest or risk getting left behind by AI. This is another interesting story I want to cover quickly because I have something to say about this, of course, because I do have a lot of things to say about things. Larry Fink, okay, BlackRock CEO's annual letter urges broader participation in markets as a defense against widening wealth inequality. Isn't that interesting? Larry Fink said that investing is the best hedge Americans can make against the predicted economic disruption wrought by advances in artificial intelligence. And he's absolutely right, because people who are investing now are doing better, right? They, at least some of their assets are appreciating in value. Just by being in the market, okay, by being invested. And if you know how to day trade a little, you're actually, you know, you can actually get a nice little chunk of money coming your way. And so, fine. But this is an interesting thing, because what's going to happen? You know, people are just not going to have jobs anymore. We're just going to be investing. Is that kind of the direction they want? Haven't you noticed that they want to keep pushing people to digitize their money in some way and keep it that way? Even if you're a loser, you know, impulsive, compulsive, whatever, right? They want you to gamble, right? Why don't you just gamble then, right? Either way, go on Robinhood, gamble, right? Go on whatever, and just put your money in the digital. You put it in the Coinbase. Put it in our app. Put it on the app. Put it on the app. Tokenize your money, and it's they just want streams of money to just go into digitized form. They don't want you hiding your cash in your mattress anymore. And they probably don't even want you to digitize it and put it in a place where they can't touch it, right? So that was the whole, probably, you know, because you know how we can't make money that way either. So yeah, I don't know. They want to like tokenize your assets basically. And I don't know. Personally, I think that's the beginning of universal basic income. And my shit with that, and this isn't an original idea, I saw this in a YouTube video that freaked me out, and it was just some Asian teacher, math guy, who was just talking about consumerism, and basically his point was people were liberated from feudalism after the medieval times due to industrialization and the fact that you could make money with your work. Money with your work, right? Before, as a serf, you just worked and then they gave you shit. And that big difference is basically what liberated the worker, is that you had money, right? Which means you had a choice. Money gave you a choice because it's your fucking money. And you know what? Do heroin if you want with your goddamn money, because it's yours, right? Do whatever you want. Paint your house pink and cover it with seashells. Who the hell cares? If you don't have an HOA, do it. And even if you do, do it. You know, to hell with those old bitches. Nobody likes HOAs, okay? Nobody. They suck. So paint your house pink, covered in seashells, okay? Make a round the clock, bubble blower at the top of the house, you know, where the weather vane would be. Okay, just big bubbles blowing off the top of your house all day long. Okay, do whatever you want with your life because it's your money. Your money gives you choice. The problem with now is that we are relying less and less on having money, and more on digital money. That isn't really money. It's more like incentive structures with some kind of benefit, like direct benefit, right? And then UBI, universal basic income, I don't know if that's probably not going to be money. You know what I mean? It's probably going to be conveniences. You're just going to be like, look, it's like this, right? If money gives you choice and then there are many businesses to choose from. That's good. Money gives you choice, but there's only Amazon.com. That's not good, because you actually don't have choice. You just buy what's on Amazon, right? You buy with the company money. And then they all want to give you incentives to not have real money, but to just put your money in with them. And then they'll give you, you know, like Musk bucks, you know, like Elon Musk bucks or whatever, or Bezos cash. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beginning of just phasing out the sort of semi, you know, pseudo control that they had over people's choice with monopolies and stuff and consumerism and manipulation with algorithms and shit. And now we're going straight into straight incentive to consumer contracts, right? Which means like feudalism again. That's basically it, right? Where you don't have this money as a buffer anymore. It's just like, no, you work, you get diapers. Or something like that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm way out of my depth here. I'm talking about shit that, you know, I don't fully understand. But that video freaked me out. I just wanted to share it with you. Because that's what this article made me think of. Because it's good to invest. You should. But then it's also like, hey, what the fuck does money even mean anymore? You know? Anyway, that's all the time I have today. I gotta go. On that bright note, I gotta go. Thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name was Melissa Diaz. This was the Melissa Diaz Report. Thank you for tuning in to my podcast. I hope you have a wonderful week. And I'll talk to you again next week about more shit that I'll just really get in the weeds about and discuss with myself. And hopefully you listen. And if you ever want to comment or anything, you know, just drop me a line on YouTube or something like that. I'll get back to you. So yeah. Like, subscribed, etc. Ipso facto. That's made up Latin. So yeah, have a wonderful week. Thank you. Thanks again. Bye-bye.